Okay, we're continuing with the Avodat Yom Kippurim, the work the Kohen Gadol used to do, his duties on Yom Kippur in the Beit HaMikdash. So we said that after bringing the morning sacrifice, the Tamid Shel Shachar, and the Ktores, and preparing some of the lamp, he would go and dunk second time in the mikvah. This time he would don white clothing, and then he would come out, he's preparing himself to go into the Holy of Holies. We know that he's going to take the Seir, the goat, one of the pair, and bring it in its blood into the Holy of Holies. So step one is we have two goats, they're of equal height, they cost the same amount, they look the same, they're the same age, and they're on the eastern side of the Azarah. So again, it's a little hard. Frederick, you're welcome to take a seat over there so you can follow. So they're going to go up here to the eastern side of the Azarah, and he's going to have on his right hand, he's going to have on his right the Sgan, his assistant, and on his left is going to be the Rosh Beit Av, the one who was in charge of that group of Kohanim who were in service that day. And yeah, sure. This is a very respectable coin. And now, they have this box, and inside the box there are two lots made of gold. One of them says Lashem, and the other one says Lazazel. So he is going to stick in his hands, and it's considered a good omen if the one that says Lashem comes out in his right hand. So in order to ensure the Kohanim didn't make a trick, the Kohanim were told, grab them out, because they didn't want the Kohen to go feeling for which one was Lashem, so that should come out in his right hand. It was supposed to be a lot. You don't know what's going to come out. So the Kohen would grab without feeling, and he wouldn't even look at what it said. The man on his right and the man on his left would look. And whichever one said Lashem, they tell him, my master Kohen Gadol, raise your right hand or left hand, depending on which one just came out to be designated for Hashem. And then the Kohen Gadol would take the lot and he would place it, the lot that came out on his right hand, he'd place it on the goat on his right. The lot that came out on his left hand, he'd place it on the goat on his left. And he would designate the one that came out to go in the Holy of Holies. He would say, Lashem Chatat. This is hereby designated, this animal, to be a sacrifice in honor of Hashem. Which name of Hashem would he say at that point? Hashem's hidden name. So now we have a second time that everyone's going to bow down because they heard him say Hashem's name. Everyone hears him. He says it. It says sometimes you could hear him out till Jericho. The Kohen Gadol had a very bombastic voice, and he would say, Lashem Chatat, and all the Jews that could hear him from afar would all bow down and say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam Va'ed. So here we have the second time that Hashem's name was mentioned. The first time was when he said his vidui over the cow. The second time is now over the goat when he designates it for Hashem. And then he takes a red string and he ties it around the horns of the goat that's going to be sent out to Azazel, to the cliff. And he takes another red string and he ties it around the neck of the goat that's going to be slaughtered and brought into the Holy of Holies. This way the two won't get mixed. Remember, they're supposed to look identical. Yes.
It's
a good question. It's a great question. Not for tonight. Next man, let's talk about it. Okay? I'm serious. Let's talk about it. Yes. I'm sorry, just one second. If you want to see, look in Parshas Shmos. When Hashem appears to Moshe, he tells him, Ze Shemi Leolam, Ze Zichri Ledor Dor. Chazal darshan the words le'olam le'alem. From here we learn that Hashem's name should not be pronounced directly. Look at the Torah Tmima over there. Look at the other commentaries over there. That's where it's discussed. Okay? It's the end of an aliyah. Ze zichri le'dor dor. It's about chamishi. It's about the end of Revi or the end of chamishi. Okay? You can look at the commentaries there. Yes, sir?
This might seem like a privilege.
question, but the details, the ceremonious details of this event, was that passed down through from Hashem through the oral tradition?
Part of it is recorded in Parshat Achrimot. Part of it is recorded in detail in Parshat Emor. Part of it is recorded in detail in Parshat Pinchas. Part of it is recorded in detail in the Mishnah and Yuma. And part of it is in the Talmud, was the oral tradition. But a lot of it is actually in the Torah. A lot. This is probably the most detailed day of the year in terms of how much detail the written Torah tells us about this day. The Gemara expands on it, but most of it is in the Torah. So that's not written overtly in the Torah. No. Okay. Now remember, he has the cow that's been waiting for him. He comes back to that cow. And this time he's going to say, please Hashem, I and all the Kohanim have transgressed on purpose, by mistake, rebelliously. Please forgive us for all those transgressions. And this is going to be the third time that he says Hashem's hidden name, because he's saying vidui on that same cow a second time for all the Kohanim. Gemar chatima tova. Should have a year filled with blessing. I want to ask everyone here if I've done or said something that was hurtful to someone. So I apologize and I hope you forgive me. I definitely forgive anyone if anyone's done anything to me. But I want to take the opportunity to also ask you and the whole class. Should have a good year. Gemar chatima tova. Send my best to your kids. Thank you. So now this was the third time they're all going to bow, right? We had the Tamid. This is the fourth time. We had the first time he said his vidui on this cow. And then we had when he designated the goat. And now this is the fourth time everyone's going to bow. And again, when we were counted in shul, we also bow. And that is when he says his vidui, when he says his confession on behalf of all the Kohanim over this cow. On our knees, and our head goes down. Not on the floor, no. We put something between our knees and the floor. You could put your talis. We bow with our knees, and our head goes most of the way down. But we put something in between. We don't go all the way down. We put... Yeah, but ideally we don't do that. Our minhag is to put something on the floor. Our minhag is to put anything. You could put a rug, you could put a paper towel, you could put your talis.
What does that show?
That's a good question. In a nutshell, in ancient times, in Israel and elsewhere, they used to make mosaics on the floor that were idols. They would bow directly to them. So being that we don't know exactly where they had these mosaics all over Israel, it was pretty common. So our custom is we don't bow on any floor. We always put a separation between us and the floor. Back to the order of the Kohan. Okay. Now, the Kohen Gadol is going to slaughter that cow. We have the two goats waiting. He designated them. He went over to the cow. He said the vidui. So now we finished the vidui of the cow. He slaughters the cow, receives the blood, and then he tells the Kohen, here. And he gives him this big vessel with the blood, and he says, now mix, because blood congeals very quickly, and he's going to have to sprinkle that blood. So there's a Kohen that's going to stand here, the fourth step out here, and he's going to stand there mixing the blood. Yes?
Is the Kohen Gadol slaughtered the cow?
The Kohen Gadol is doing this. Yeah. So he's out here. Four steps, four rows out, stands a man out here mixing the blood. The Kohen Gadol slaughtered, the Kohen Gadol received the blood. Now they had these rings where they would hold down the cow. He doesn't have to hold the cow as he's slaughtering it. They had rings over here that would hold down the cow. And he slaughters it, receives the blood, brings the blood over here, gives it to a man, a kohen, who's going to stand outside and mix it. It says no one's allowed to be inside the holy or holy of holies when the kohen gadol goes in. That's why he has to stand outside. It says even the demons were chased out of there. God said, no one, no spirit, no one, just the kohen gadol and me. So now he goes up to the altar and he is going to take burning coals. What does he need those coals for? He's going to go into the Holy of Holies and bring the Ketores, right? So he needs to take coals from within, the burning hot coals. And he has a very special shovel. The shovel is made of gold. Ordinarily, when they took coals from the altar, even if they took them for the Ketores, when they had to burn the Ketores in here, they would first dig with a silver shovel, and then they pour it into a gold shovel. They didn't want to use the gold shovel for digging. Today, the Kohen Gadol is working all alone. He's working hard, so they made it easy on him. He could use a gold shovel to dig. Every day, he would dig with a big shovel that would house 96 eggs. That's the volume, approximately 5-6 liters. That's a pretty big shovel that he'd use, and pour it into a shovel that carries less than that, that carries about 4 liters. Today, he shovels with the same amount that he's going to take it in. Today, it was made especially light. Today, it had a long handle so he could help support himself under his armpit as he'd carry it. Every day, the gold had a greenish, yellowish tinge, and today, it was a special gold that had a reddish tinge. Every day Kohanim would go up on the east and come down on the west, or yeah, and today the Kohen Gadol goes up and down the middle. It's like he's boss of the Beit HaMikdash today. So the Kohen Gadol takes burning coals from the middle. Now he's going to do a difficult task. He takes the Ketores. The Ketores is a bunch of spices, 11 spices, that were ground, and ground the second time for Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur, the Torah says, Ketores Tzamim Daka, take finely ground Ketores. Our Ketores is always ground. So our tradition is that for Yom Kippur, they would grind it another time, make it especially fine dust. The Kohen Gadol has to take 2 handfuls. Like this, 2. Now that sounds easy. We're going to see in a second why it wasn't easy. So he takes 2 handfuls, and he puts them into a little shovel that he's going to take. So he's carrying the little shovel, with his left hand that has the Ketores, and it's like a little, I would call it not a shovel. What would be the right term for it? More like a pot, like a little pot that's going to hold, or a big scoop that's going to hold 2 handfuls. So it's like a little pot. He holds that in his left hand. And he has this big shovel in his right hand that has a huge volume of coals in it, made of gold. Now, he's going to go into the Holy of Holies. Now, our tradition is that when the Torah says, Ki ve'anan ira'a l'kaporet, I appear on the Holy of Holies with a cloud. So we would have thought that means, pour the Ketores on the coals and then walk in with a cloud of smoke. Our tradition is it doesn't mean that. That's what the Sadducees say. Our tradition is Hashem saying, I appear when you do that, but do it inside in the Holy of Holies. Don't do it before you come in. So the Kohen Gadol comes into the Holy of Holies. He walks down. Okay? He's going southward. And then he walks in between the 2 curtains and goes northward. And then he comes back down southward till he's standing right opposite the Aron. And he's going to place the pan with burning coals, or this shovel, which we said has a large volume. I mean, you're talking about this wide, this deep, and this high. You're talking about a big shovel filled with coals. I mean, think about it. You got to fit in there about 4 or 5 liters. That's like 4 Coke bottles. Think about what size shovel that has to be. That amount of coals. He's taking it, and he puts it down here in the Holy of Holies. He puts down the shovel. Now, he has to shift. He has a pot which has exactly 2 handfuls of Ketores. How do you shift it from the pot into your hands? The Torah says he has to serve it from his hands onto the coals in the Holy of Holies. So it's in a pot. He has his hands. How does it shift from the pot into his hands? So the Kohen Gadol would put it under his armpit and then start shifting the pot slowly and tilt it slowly until he could pour it into his hands. The Talmud says this was the hardest task in the Beit HaMikdash to learn, because if anything spilled, he had to start all over again. So he had to make sure to get it right. You know, if it spilled, shucks, guys, just a second. Doesn't work that way. He'd have to practice this a long time. This is a Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Rambam holds, he held the pot in his mouth, and he'd have to shift it onto his hands. But this was the hard task. It says this was the hardest job in the Beit HaMikdash. Rashi says, it can't be. Rashi just says logically. He says, you wouldn't stand in front of a regular king with a pot in your mouth. He says, it can't be that the Kohen Gadol stood in the Beit HaMikdash with a pot in his mouth. Rashi says, that shot just can't be. He doesn't quote Rambam. Rashi preceded Rambam. But he says, it can't be that. So he says, it must be that he held it, the stick was under his armpit, and he shifted it slowly into his hands. Now that he has it on his two hands, they used to tell the Kohen Gadol, be careful, don't pour it on the coals this way, because what will happen as he pours it on the coals, the fire will come up and burn his hands. So they told him, pour it backwards, right? Pour out the incense, the ktores, pour it going backwards onto the coals, so that the fire leaps up as your hands pull away from it, not as your hands go over it. Okay, now the Kohen Gadol did the first task in the Holy of Holies. He put the ktores in on the coals in the Holy of Holies. Now, the whole Holy of Holies gets filled with the smoke of the ktores. The smell of the ktores was so powerful, it says that centuries later, you could still smell it when you went to a place that they had burnt the ktores. The walls would absorb it. It says that the goats in Jericho would sneeze from the smell of the ktores. Rambam says the ktores would cover all the smell in the temple. As you'd approach the temple, all you could smell was the smell of the ktores. It was a very pleasant smell. Yeah, it was a very, very, very special smell. Yeah. And they had a special tradition how to make the ktores so that the smoke would rise up in a straight line and then spread out over the ceiling. They had a special grass that they knew to mix in that would make the smoke go in a specific direction, like one pillar, and then spread out evenly over the roof. Now, he walks out in reverse. He walks out backwards. He walks back northward, backwards, and then he goes out back southward, and then he comes out to the Holy. He's here. He just did the holy task of putting the ktores on the coals on Yom Kippur. Now is the chance to pray. So what would we think? He's going to pray for an hour or two. There's a lot to talk about. You're in the holiest moment. You're standing with God, right? The Mishnah says he had to daven quickly. He couldn't daven a long prayer because otherwise people would think he's dead. I just want us to understand what we just read. You have the holiest moment. Imagine, okay, you finally got through to the Gdol Ador, okay? You made a phone call, you finally got through, and your wife goes, Jeremiah, what's he saying? And the halacha says, don't scare people. Going, God, they'll get out. But I have a chance to pray. I'm praying for all of them. What am I praying about? The Kohen Gadol used to pray there shouldn't be earthquakes. People shouldn't be buried in their homes. The Mishnah tells us later on what the Kohen Gadol used to daven about. He wasn't just saying, God, let me inherit $1 million. He was praying about the good of the people. It still says, no, it's not a good enough excuse. Don't scare everyone. Get out. Short prayer and out. Okay, in the second temple period, or in the end of the first temple period, there was this big stone there called the Evan Ashtiyah. It was 3 fingers high from the earth, and they used to put the ktores and the pan on that. Okay. Yes, sir. What? Want me to tell you? Special people. had fire going through their nostrils. Less special people had the angels that looked like the feet of goat give them a kick, and sometimes they find a kohen gadol looked like there was an imprint of a goat's foot in his head, like they gave him a kick. And other people would go out alive, and they just wouldn't live out their year. They'd die sometime during the year. Sounds like that was the masses in the Second Temple period. Most of them died like that. They weren't holy enough to die that moment. They would die during the course of the year. Correct. What? There were those who were holy enough that fire went in through their nostrils. If they were really holy, they didn't die. The Kohen Gadol was supposed to be holy and go in. When Ezra was Kohen Gadol, he didn't die. When Shimon HaTzadik was Kohen Gadol, he didn't die. The good Kohen Gadolim didn't die. But those who weren't. Top level had fire going through their nostrils. Second level got a kick from an angel, and it looked like a calf had kicked them, and you'd see a footprint of a calf and they'd be dead. And the rest of them, which was the masses, would die throughout the year. Yes?
The Kohen Gadol just did that thing. Bull. He was supposed to tar together with his family. He's going to die. He's going to die.
Could be. Could be. Or his atonement wasn't accepted. He hasn't yet gotten atoned. He's not done yet. Now, remember, he walks out here. We said four rows out of the holy, out of the Heichal, there's a coin standing mixing the blood of the cow. Yeah, you want to answer? He called. I can't see from here if that's a number. I have no idea.